the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Since the beginning of the year, we've been looking into love. In this recording, Dave looks more into love. The main reading is John chapter 15.
Great, lovely words again from the Lord. We're still in love through the last couple of weeks to go. not in exercise, but in our teaching, because it never should stop. And we've just been looking at, we defined it, of course. It isn't a feeling-based, it isn't soul-based, it's spirit-based, which meant it is volitional, it's choosing, it's regardless of how we feel and how people respond to us. We love and go out of our way to show that and prove that, just as Jesus. We are just followers of him, aren't we? That takes, we need him. Just talking somewhere today, and they are struggling and all these kind of things. And I said, well, that's not unusual, is it? Begin to read 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul says, listen to what Paul said, I despaired even of life. Yet I had to get to that place where I could lean on him and not myself. See, the problem is Paul was a capable person. He was, intelligent, absolutely, so he could do lots of things. And ultimately, we had to rely upon him and lean on him. And that's why this love, as we'll see in a moment, the fruit of it. And of course, it isn't just that. It's the increasing it. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the foundational fruit of the Spirit. That's to grow in his depth, in his discernment. We read Philippians 1. He says, as you grow in love, you can see clearly. You can see that which the Lord loves. Because the Bible says, you love the Lord. Remember we talked about it? And you hate evil. So you'll see, the more you love the Lord, the more you will see through things clearly that is good or that's not so good. Even things that we think, we're not sure about that. The more we know the Lord, because love is relationship, isn't it? As you know him, you love him. The more you get to know him, the more you'll see clearly. And in the demonstration of, and going out of our way sometimes, costs us time, costs us money, costs us this. Well, that is sacrificial. The sacrifice and this kind of love goes hand in hand, isn't it? Goes hand in hand. And again, we understand a little bit of it. When we that's why, again, I'm just dwelling on that, just reading something else the other day about so vital families, the family, isn't it? And having, just again, talking to this lady today, how blessed you are when you have a good mum and dad, that you can begin to see a little bit clearly what love means, biblical love. When that's all to pot, that's real trouble. She was just telling me about a lady that her parents had her, but they didn't want her. And she knew it. Mm-hmm. And they I don't know if they told her, but she was ended up in a foster home. Because, and she said for her whole life, that was above her, that cloud, that she wasn't wanted. See, the only answer to that is Jesus, isn't it? And even then, you've got to work it through. The Lord's got to flood your life with his word and flood your life with the Spirit of God. But that's a terrible thing. And that hinders so many things. Our relationships, our trust issues. You can go into it if you want to. But that's the key, isn't it? And that's why we need Jesus. So to grow in love, there's a few things, verbs, lovely verb. We don't know much about English, but verb is a doing word, isn't it? We know that, to do. What are we to do with love? And the Bible is very clear how we work it through. First one is we walk in love. Now, of course, in Bible times and in the Bible, walking is a metaphor for our life, isn't it? The pattern of our life, the picture of our life, the direction where we're going, the closeness to the person we're walking with. And it's just, and so we write from the beginning of time, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. That was his life. His life was with God. And the Bible says, he walked so far with the Lord. The Lord said, you may as well come home with me, didn't he? Lovely picture. And all through the Old Testament, even through into the New Testament, the walk. Our walk is our life, our pattern, our picture. How do we walk? And the Bible, of course, the New Testament is the way, isn't it? The way, that's what they call it, the way of salvation. And they call the people of the way. First one then, we read this last week. Again, it's enough to bring some real backbone in you and shudder sometimes when I read these verses. Ephesians 5:1-5.
Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
I mean, what a thing for Paul to say, be imitators of God. And of course, as soon as we say that, we retract and we make excuses, don't we? Oh, well, we can't do that. No, the Bible is very clear. That is our aim, our goal, our aim, isn't it? To be like him. And of course, what do you say? Walk in love. Live a life of love. Walk in love. And of course, our example again, is that a vague term? No, as Christ. Sacrifice, fragrant offering, paid the price. There's our example. So we're walking, we are following, we are, and of course then the result of that, we just read those other things that we won't do. Because when we love him, we don't want to hurt him, do we? We don't want to hurt God. Do I? And that's the difference. Again, that comes out then. Are we walking? Is our relationship, is religion or relationship? Because religion can hold you to a certain point, but it won't take you to that point where you'll die for something that you know is true or know is not true. 2 John 5:6.
And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we live one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it.
Again, walking, pattern, principles, there you are. And of course, the Bible is right through negative walking, not after the flesh, but by the Spirit. Walk in faith. Walk, again, we looked at this just in the beginning here. Walk worthily of your calling. There's a worthiness. So are we walking because we are called by him? And we understand that if we are called to do anything for, you know, something mighty, we will walk worthily and up to the calling and consistently in walking good works, walk in love and so on and so forth. But walking pattern of life. How do we walk in the love that God's given us, that we love him and love others? How about this one? Pursuing. Not just walking, but make it our aim to pursue it. 1 Corinthians 14:1, just one verse.
Follow the way of love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy.
We talked about prophecy on Sunday morning, and it is very clear from the Word of God, the motivation and the pattern of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, the working out of that in public ministry, you know, in the public church, tongues, prophecy, interpretation. But right in between, we have this chapter on love. Yeah. Love. That the gifts of the Spirit are there to demonstrate the love of God, to demonstrate the grace of God. And that's why straight away after 4:13, he says this, pursue, follow after, flee. There's a real looking and longing and pursuing after that which is the Lord's and who he is. And he uses these terms, Paul uses sort of athletic terms because they understood that. They lived in that kind of world, Greek world, Roman world. So they understood what is pursuing. What were these verses? 1 Timothy 6:6-12.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
So there's a fleeing away and a pursuing. Again, talking to Timothy, young man, in 2 Timothy 2, he says, now flee the evil desires of youth that grab hold of you. But pursue, same word, follow after, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And right through the Bible, he uses these words to... There's activity, there's energy, isn't it? There's a dimension where we don't say, oh, well, we're sitting here and passive. No, there's a rising up and saying, come on, I'm going to pursue these things. And you can, again, there's a sermon there, pursuing him, hospitality, peace, righteousness, good love, righteousness, peace, sanctification, pursue those and pursue the Lord. And the same word is found in where the disciples flee. So we can see, they get a picture. Remember, they came around and the Bible says they all run away. That's the picture. They all ran away. Thankfully, the blessed same word is used, James 4, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. Same word. That's a great... So that's understand that our pursuit is him. Our pursuit is the way of love. Love. See, what we love, we want to see people saved. We want to build people up. We want to tell them the truth, isn't it? Love tells the truth. Speak the truth. Not just speak the truth in love. Because remember we said before, tone, David. The love of God will, of course it will. Because we don't want to see them destroy themselves. We don't want to see them. And the Lord speaks clearly and truthfully. So, walking, pursuing, what about this? Putting on, as in clothes, sinking into a garment. Colossians 3, 8 to 14.
But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Put on, again, there's an activity here, and a direct opposition to that which is of the enemy, and of the flesh, and of the world in our lives. Put it off. Lay it aside. It's exactly like taking a cloak off or a coat off or whatever. Take it and put it aside. That which is of the old man, that which is of the old nature, put it aside. But put on. He said, now put on your love. Put on love. And if we want unity, he says, there's the key. Love. And I was just reading the history of... Well, it's baptism of the Spirit, the Pentecost from the beginning of, so the beginning of Tunis, 20th century, 1900, and how people just long for the Lord. Mm-hmm. But even then, it just came sort of a late 10s, around 1920, and he said, had problems then. People were getting caught up and disputes about doctrine. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's Donald G. So he was quite a good one of the good guys, and he said, and some of it, you know, irrelevant, not important, not life and death, not. And of course, that's what the devil loves to do, doesn't he? To take us down that tangent, you know. And he said, what happens is if we clothe ourselves in love, we say, well, we read it last week, love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't excuse sin, but it covers a multitude of sins sometimes, isn't it? And we talk about being young, and we talk about being old, and some of us in the middle, there's no excuse of our behaviour. covers, isn't it? Give him a little bit of leeway sometimes. Come around and lift them up and clip them under you sometimes, of course. Not the old people, the young people. No. Put on love. Sink into the garment. I like that picture. Sinking into the garment. That which has been well worn, isn't it? Yeah. I remember I had a pair of trainers. I had them for 20 years. I used to wear them every morning. And I didn't want to throw them away. Jackie made me throw away eventually because they were falling apart. But he used to, because they just fitted, didn't they? Just put them on, didn't have to put the laces on. You sank into them. Why? Because they were well used, well worn. And that's the idea, putting on love. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Ephesians 4.
You were taught with regard to your former ways of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold.
Putting off. And again, you can read through other scriptures, putting off that which is the enemy, filthiness, malice, anger, lying. Again, all that which is of our own nature, put it off. So it's a great, because obviously every day there's instances and opportunities for us to do that and to put that into action, because there'll be a moment when anger rises, depending on where we, our personalities or malice or even telling an untruth. And all those things rise up, and we're to put them off. Deliberately take a decision to put it off. And put on the new man. Put on the new man. Put on the Bible says, put on the armor of light. Put on the breastplate. Put on the armor. Isn't it? That, so there's that ability and the stretching forth and the doing of something. Putting on. Now, so we're doing, we're walking, we're pursuing, we're putting on. Now we are resting. We are remaining, not for too long, because we get lazy, won't we? I love the word. It's the, we've looked at it many times before, abiding, continuing, remaining, living in, enduring. 1 John 2, 3 to 6.
We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Well, again, again, John's an old man, and he's very clear, isn't he? There's no also, well, if you like this, you could be. No, he said, if you're not obedient, you're not in him. If you say you're walking with him, don't do his word, he said, he says, you're a liar. He doesn't hold back with his words. He said, this is it. If you know him, you're going to live for him. If you know him, you're going to be obedient. If you love him, you're going to love others. He said, that's very clear. We're going to abide in him. If you abide in him, you will walk as he did. So we can see if we are abiding, and the proof is there before us. And we know if we love him, we'll see it. Love is the actions it produces. We can see how it is. How do we abide in him? Well, just read there, we walk as he does, we are obedient to his word, we confess him, we acknowledge him, we are right by him, we trust him, reliant upon him, dependent upon him, pliable in his hands, teachable, We are resting, we are abiding in him because he's abiding in us. That's where it starts. He comes into us. Zacchaeus, I must. There's an imperative. No, I must abide in your house. He's got to come in. Otherwise, it's religion. It's just an understanding. I know who Jesus is. Yeah, fine. But unless we receive him by faith and put him into our hearts, it's just knowledge. And that knowledge will be flooded out by other things and goodness knows what. It won't hold us. So he abides in us. We are in him. And then he's in us and we are in him. Paul uses that phrase many times, in Christ. It's a beautiful picture. Because there's security, there's depend, there's everything we need, isn't it? Is ours. Because we're in him, we are his. And if we ask, we receive. 1 John 4, 15, 21.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
I haven't counted up, I shouldn't do that actually, how many times he uses the word liar, John, again, he said this is it, don't say you love God, oh Lord, because that can be a kind, of course, God is sometimes in our mind up there, far away. I love you, Lord. But he said, look, the outworking of that, of course, is to walk as he did, to obey his word. His word has priority over everything and anything. And that we love those around us. And that, now that's something you can, it's tangible, isn't it? I love you, Lord. Yes. How do you see that worked out? Because someone's, oh, I don't like that person. Oh, that's tough. But you love them. You love them. Why? Because God loves us. And he says we rely upon that. We are abiding in that. We are in him, in us. And so we can't love in and of ourselves, because some of us are not very lovely and not very loving. But with the love of Christ, that's why it's divine. That's why we see in a moment we produce it from the Spirit of God which is within us. So we are abiding. We are resting in the love of God. Because we're resting in him. So we're abiding him. Now, we looked at this verse the other day, which is a beautiful verse. We're established. We're grounded. Our foundation is him. His love for us. Our fuel, for our motivation is love. Paul says, I am constrained. I am driven. He said, I can't. In one sense, I can't. Could stop it because there's a choice of the will, but he said it constrains me. I got to tell people. I've got to share the gospel. The love of God compels me. He said to tell. Oh, help us, Lord, to be filled with that kind of real love of God. Ephesians 3.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the Spirit of God by the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know that the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we will ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory of the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, throughout the world without end.
Yeah, bless the Lord. That we would be rooted understand what root it is, don't we? So the parable is very clear. We've got to have good roots. If the roots isn't any good, it ain't going to last. So be rooted in him. Again, we looked at that, all those trees in the Old Testament when they were rooted. We talked about the palm tree, the olive tree, the cedar. When they are rooted and all the different qualities they have. And that's how he describes his, the people of God in all those different kinds of trees and the qualities that come from it. Being rooted and grounded, founded, settled. So we know. See, the more we again spend time with the Lord, the more we are rooted and resting on his love, the more we understand it, the more we comprehend it. And it's beyond our imagination. He said, I try, so you comprehend how deep, how wider, four dimensions, three of course, but the depth of it, the depth of the love of God. And once you know that, ah, dear, dear, no wonder those great men and women of old they went anywhere for the Lord. Went to the ends of the earth for him to take the gospel. Why? Because they had a real encounter. They really loved him. And they wanted other people, the love that they knew, they wanted other people to do that. And again, just reading about those old, we read it, someone in Congo, when they went to the Congo, Salter and Burton and a couple of others, one was a couple of martyrs, wasn't it? But when they went there, and one of the guys, as soon as he turned, he was a bit older, died straight away, black fever, bang. And they both had it, and the Lord was merciful to them, they said. And I mean, you know, just went, beginning the last century, 19th century, just to take the 20th century, take the gospel. I mean, why? They said, they just had a, he said to Jimmy, James Salt, he said, what about that verse? He said, go into all the world and preach. What do you think of that? He said. He said, we should. He said, right. I don't know why they picked Africa. Well, of course, it used to be known as the dark nation, dark continent, didn't it? But I tell you what, it's more light now than any other continent. If you read it, Congo, I think it's 90-odd% saved. The legacy they left took the gospel. Bless the Lord. And right through, Northern Africa is a bit of a struggle, but a lot of those African nations, many, because they were rooted, they knew, and they began to comprehend, began to understand how great this love was, because they were established in it and rooted in it. Colossians 2, 6 to 7.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
Again, Christianity is not a belief system in and of itself. It changes our behavior. First half of Ephesians is about what we believe. The second half is about how it works out in our lives. And he's very clear there, isn't it? And it's a continual thing. Every verb in Christianity is a present continuous, always ongoing. Repentance, confession, faith. It's not something we just do once and for all. We're always ongoing. Why? Because it's a relationship. And the relationship is ongoing. And he said, continue to live in him, rooted, built up, strengthened. Hallelujah. Great words, all different meanings to those that mean we're in him. And overflowing with thankfulness. Again, our words betray where we are, how we're walking with the Lord. Said on Sunday, didn't I? You can see if someone's walking with the Lord on their lips. And when someone's drifting, our language isn't like it should be, a little bit coarse, a little bit, as we just read earlier, sometimes even not bad language, but bad language. We can see it come. Ultimately, see, when we walk with the Lord, our lips betray where we are. Out of that heart, the mouth speaks. And when we know him, we rooted him, we know his love, we are thankful. Praise, we may not feel like praising, but we will praise, because his word doesn't change. His words are not that we are his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. So we praise him, and we praise him, and that's why we shout and we praise. Not embarrassed about what people think. If we're embarrassed about what we think, we're all family, well, you've got no chance when you go out there, have you? And to begin to praise him and to shout about the Lord. So with thankfulness, blessing and honour. Why? Because we are rooted and established, and we are beginning to comprehend how great and how vast and how deep, how wide his love is. And ultimately, Again, we are to produce it. The Bible says, walk in it, pursue it, put it on, abide in love, be established in love. And ultimately, it's a production. God is in the business of making us fruitful. John 5, stay, abide in him, and you will bear fruit. More fruit, much fruit, lasting fruit that will last forever. If it doesn't last, it's not of me. Very clear, isn't it? But when it's of me, it will last. It'll be seen. Galatians 5, 22-25.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the flesh, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
This is the fruit. When the Lord is within us, it's seen, isn't it? Love is the first one. And you can look at that, and love is the foundation, and all the rest are produced out of that, if you like. And, you know, love extolling and all those other things we've looked at before. But the root is, we are producing the fruit. We are fruitful. And the first fruit, of course, the great fruit is love. He loves us, we love him. And out of that, we are loving those around us, showing Jesus, going out of our way to show Jesus. I love Jesus when he... sometimes, if I've got a certain, you know, if we're busy, we've got a certain thing, I've got to do that, and my day generally is mapped out in my mind, what I've got to do, and then something crops up, didn't it? I think I was going to put the span in the works. Usually something Jackie's asked me to do or something. Things crop up. But I love Jesus because the Bible says the man, he was on his way, wasn't he? Remember, he was on his way to Calvary. But he still had time. Remember Zacchaeus? He was on his way to Calvary. He wasn't coming back through Jericho again. If he ever came through before, probably did. No, he's not going back that way. And all his mind and his heart was caught up. The Bible says, with the weight began to... We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The weight of it. The weight of Calvary. That sin was going to be upon him. That he was going to be, in a sense, separated from Father. Beyond our imagination. But even in the middle of that, even in the middle of all difficulties, he still had time. Still, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he still had time to pick that ear up. Europe. That we are Welsh. No, put his ear back on. That just shows the heart of the Lord out of his way. And of course, we know on the cross that thief that had been abusing him. The Lord said, yes, today. Me and you would have said, you're on your way, buddy. You've made your bed, you lie in it. But the Lord, so is repentance, so is heart. Colossians 1. This is a great prayer for us, prayer that Paul prayed over the church. Colossians 1:9-14.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom, the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Bless the Lord. If you're ever wondering, what can I pray? How can I pray over the church? Here we are. It's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? I've been praying for you that you will grow in your knowledge, understanding, in spiritual wisdom, and so you will live a life worthy and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You can flick over to Ephesians 1, another prayer that he prayed over the church. So if you're wondering what to pray, there's a good prayer to pray. Yeah. Underline it. So I say, sometimes it's good to bring an old Bible with you. and mark it, sort of something, because you'll forget otherwise, mark it and put some notes by the side of it. Wonderful prayer that Paul prayed. Bearing fruit, praying for you, that you will grow in and bear fruit, produce it, produce that which is real and true, and that which comes from the Spirit of God. Last verse, 1 Corinthians 6, 13 to 14.
Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love.
Yeah. Stand firm, be strong. I like the old version, it says, act like a man. Act like a man. Whatever that, the old ways. But do everything you do. Everything. I like that. Do everything in and through the love of God. Bless the Lord. And that's to be modeled, isn't it? Just reading a story about a chap. He was a minister. And he had two kids. One was 8, one was 5. And he was trying to model the love of God. And the motto in the church, motto in the house was love is action. Love is action. So he had to go shopping. I don't know why his wife sent him shopping. His wife sent him shopping with the two kids. She didn't go. Don't know how that worked out. Anyway, he goes to the mall. And as he goes there was a big petting zoo in the middle. He thought, oh, there we go. And Dad, can we go there? He said, you give me some time. I'll do a bit of shopping. And he gave them a quarter each, which is 25 cents. And he said, there we are, off you go. And off they went. He didn't really, he was a bit like a proper dad, didn't check on him. Just let him go. And we were talking about on Sunday, a difference between your mum and dad. And I was just listening to a guy the other day. He said, look, there's a difference. He said, when you ask for a babysitter, do you ask for a boy or a girl? He said, no, it says it all, he said. It says it all. Don't ask for a boy to babysit, do you? The house will be worse than it is when he come back. So the next minute he turns around, his daughter's behind him. And he said, what are you doing? He said, oh, it was 50 cents, she said. And so I gave my quarter to my brother so he could go in. He could go in and she said, Dad, love is action, she said. He thought, oh, bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. She's learning. So off they went. They went shopping and they came back. And there was the young lad still petting those animals. And she loved to do that. But she was waiting outside. And he thought, and he says, what do you think I did? So straight away I thought, well, he'd give her 50 cents to go in. He said, but I didn't. He said, I wanted to teach her something even more. Because he said the motto really isn't love is action in the house or in the church, but love is sacrificial action. And she said, as we stood there, I could have given her, but she didn't ask. And she just waited and waited. And he said, in that moment, she learned a greater lesson. That love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, it benefits. Benefits accrue to another's account, not yours. Love is for you, not for me. Love gives, it doesn't grab. In that moment, she learned that love is action, but love is sacrificial action. And, help us, Lord, to model the Lord, isn't it? Be imitators of the Lord. Walk in love. Live a life of love. Difficult? Impossible. That's why it's spiritual. That's why it's the Lord enabling us to go the extra mile, isn't it? When Jesus said to them, when you take your coat, go the mile, that was the law. Take it another mile. And they thought, what are you talking about? To the Romans, the oppressors, yes, show them what the love of God does. Amen. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.